let's just welcome you right now to the F1 Funcast.
It truly is one of the greatest spectacles in racing.
Absolutely incredible!
Your host for this podcast, Mr. Funcast himself, James Messer. We're watching history and we might as well get on board. And the brains of the operation, Connor, the crew chief, Gagnon.
It takes a special kind of person to do what I do.
And it's lights out and away we go! Welcome back, everybody, to the F1 Funcast. It's just James with you here today, as Connor and I are both working ourselves back from a little bit of a break here. But I thought what I would do is go real old school with it today, like we did when we first had the podcast. And I want to talk to you guys about one of the more unusual cars and concepts in the history of Formula One that I've just recently learned about. And that is the six-wheel car design that was introduced in 1975-76 by a few teams in F1, but mostly by Tyrrell. See, I don't know at this point how that team name was pronounced. T-Y-R-R-E-L-L, Tyrrell, I believe. But either way, that is they introduced a six-wheel car design for the 1975 F1 season, and we're here to talk about that today, the Tyrrell P34. So right off the bat there, I've got a little bit of information incorrect about the Tyrrell P34. It was a six-wheel car introduced after the 1975 season, late in the 1975 season, and ran its first race in 1976. So if you're not seeing any pictures of this car while you're listening, it was a six-wheel Formula One car with four wheels in the front, four smaller wheels in the front, and two wheels in the back. It was obviously a very unique design for any car system, especially a Formula One car, and it was kind of one of these situations where teams were trying to find a breakthrough, like they always are in F1, you know, trying to find a way to get to the other side of the technology race and the engineering race. So Tyrrell came up with this design for a six-wheeled F1 car that made its debut during the 1976 F1 season. The idea here is to try to fit the two smaller front wheels in behind the front wing of the car. If you look at a 1976, if you Google 1976 F1 car, you're going to see that those tires are kind of sticking out and above the front wing of the car. So the maker of the P34 really thought, if we make two wheels and kind of tuck them in behind the front wing, it's going to improve aerodynamics, there's going to be less drag on the car, and therefore hopefully improve performance and get that car to the front of the race. And I mean, when you look at it, it looks ridiculous, right? It looks a little bit like if you had a kid draw up a design for what they think a futuristic F1 car would be, but it proved to be pretty effective over time, the six-wheel race car. And other teams, I think Scuderia Ferrari and Williams, even tinkered around with the six-wheel design. Never really bringing it to the track, though, but Tyrrell did bring it to the track and got it into some Grand Prix in the 1976 and 1977 season, seeing some success. There were podiums. I believe there was one race win with the six-wheel car. Like anything else in sport, when you find a loophole or you find some way to kind of skirt the rules or go around traditional norms, of course, the regulating body is going to come in behind you and slap some regulations down, and that's exactly what happened with the FIA coming in and saying race cars can have a maximum of four, which leaves me wondering a little bit that if someone came up with an efficient design, Adrian Newey, if you're listening, could you come up with a three-wheel F1 car that might be efficient and make a podium? Who knows? Because the regulations at this point just say we're going with a maximum of four. And I know we're not doing MotoGP, we're not putting motorcycles out there, but I wonder if a three-wheel design has ever even been like considered when they're just lobbing ideas around in the plane after the race. Has anyone ever said, hey, what about this or what about that? I'm sure it doesn't work, but it's interesting that they put a maximum of 4. They didn't say a minimum of 4 or standard race 4 wheels on the car. But let's get back to the P34 and how it performed in 1976 and 1977. So back in the mid-70s, every team was using, I think every team except Ferrari, from what I see, was using the same engine, which made the design of your car all the more important in terms of beating your competitors, right? If you're all using the same engine and you all have the same horsepower, then the most important thing is going to be design and airflow around your vehicle. So like I said before, Tyrrell really believed that tucking those two wheels in behind the front wing rather than having them kind of abutting out behind the wing would drastically help the car with the airflow, aerodynamics, and have less lift or more downforce on the car as it worked its way through a Formula One race. But it was such a revolutionary, crazy idea that when the designers were talking about it on the plane, Jackie Stewart, who was retired at the time, actually had a choking fit on the plane when someone said a six-wheel car. And it's a memorable moment, I guess, for the people who were there to see him kind of hacking in the aisle of a plane, choking on his drink. But that's how revolutionary this idea was, right? That's how nobody had ever really thought of a six-wheel car. And this is kind of outside-of-the-box thinking that you like to see. You know, everybody else is doing 4, we'll do 6. Everybody else is doing X, we'll do Y. That's the type of brain power you want in an F1 team, and that's the kind of creativity that really drives innovation, right? But at the time and today, it would be considered taboo or too far outside of the box. But at the time, you know, there were no rules, so a clever engineer came up with this idea, and it worked. It worked enough to, after extensive testing and, you know, really checking this car out, that it was a race car. It was out there on the grid like everybody else for Grand Prix weekends in 1976, which is it must have been crazy, right? I guess they say that this car design was kept a secret from almost everybody except the people working on the design. So can you imagine that moment when the top comes off and the drivers and the public see the design of the car for the first time? It must have felt like a practical joke on the public, right? Like, you know, okay, where's the real car though? You guys have this this six-wheel thing as a publicity stunt or something. But no, in fact, it was the design for the next season, and it did fairly well. So I just want to take a look at the numbers here for how the P34 performed when it came down to it. So in 1976, the six-wheeled monster debuted in the Spanish Grand Prix and retired. It actually retired the next 2 weekends. And the Elf team Tyrrell didn't put 2 six-wheeled cars out until round 5 of the 1976 season. And that was in Belgium, where it finished 4th. So the P34 finished 4th and then had a double podium week 6 in Montreal. And week 7 actually finished 1-2. So the P34 with the 6 wheels came flying right out of the gate, right? Belgium, Montreal, Sweden, it finished 4 DNF, 2-3, 1-2. And then France, it finished 6-2. So, you know, when you have a radical design like that and you come out and you're finding the top of the podium, you're on the podium, you're finishing 1-2, the results must be encouraging for the team and for the designers who came up with it. Like, we're going to capitalize on this design feature right now. And the success continued for the rest of that season, never finishing. I mean, there's quite a few retirements of the car, but never finishing lower than 7th for the rest of the season with either of the 2 six-wheeled cars out on the grid. Now, 1977... was a bit of a different result with plenty of retirements. Almost every week, one of the six-wheel cars did not finish. DNFs all over the place for the team. And the highest finish that year that I'm seeing was a couple of third-place podium spots. One in Sweden. And I believe there was another one in Japan. They finished second. The car placed second in Canada at the second to last race of the season in 1977. And that would be kind of the end of the experiment, as after the 1977 season, the FIA came out and made the four-wheel rule. But the six-wheeled race car is something that I wouldn't have learned about myself unless I was just stumbling across, you know, as I was checking out Formula One history pages. So it was an interesting concept. You know, these radical ideas, these radical changes on these cars are a lot of fun, right? So what would you do in today's modern F1 that could be a big design change that could really shake things up with these cars? And, you know, I know we just came out with the 2026 regulations, and there's going to be a lot of changes there, a lot of rule changes. But we'll see. We'll see if any of these teams really come out with something that's a huge design change for these modern cars. It seems to me like the gains between these teams now in 2024 are so incremental that taking a big risk like that might not be worth the potential loss of time. But, you know, you saw Mercedes come out in 2023 with their zero pod design and immediately, you know, scrapped that, and they've been making up ground on the top of the field with traditional side pods. So it's interesting because a zero pod design really isn't as radical as a six-wheeled car, but I think when these teams come out and they do a zero pod or they do something radical and it doesn't work, then you're setting yourself back by a year or two. I mean, if you look at Mercedes right now, they're just now catching up to where they were 2021, 2022, something like that. So it's tricky. If you were a team principal, would you encourage your engineers to be thinking outside of the box and doing something radical with an F1 car? Or would you be telling them to try to wring out and squeeze out every tenth of a second from the design that you're working on? You know, which is the way to go when it comes to designing a car? How do you, you know, do you want to try to make that big leap and get in front of everybody else, or do you want to incrementally want to try to catch them by improving on their designs and you know, just making those incremental gains? It's really a tricky and interesting idea. So the P34 never really took off as an F1 race winner, or the idea of the six-wheeled car being, you know, a long-term strategy or a shift in Formula One. But it was good enough and popular enough in its day to win some races and get on the podium. And it's a funny-looking car. So if you're able to, give it a Google, check it out, and, you know, just think about what you would do with these cars. I'd love to hear what you would do with today's cars that would be a radical change that may or may not get the best out of those vehicles. So, you know, like for example, Williams made a six-wheel car, the FW07D and FW08B, and those were six-wheeled, rear-wheeled cars. So they were taking the design of the P34 and trying to flip the script and get some extra horsepower from the two wheels in the back. And they believed also that the two wheels tandem in the back would help reduce a lot of drag. Ferrari thought the same thing, you know, so they saw the six-wheeled car and they said, this is having success. Where can we improve on that design? So isn't it interesting with Formula One that even if something's radical, even if something looks crazy, you're going to have people looking at it saying, I see what they did, let's see if we can improve that, right? So Williams and Ferrari showed up and they said, huh, six wheels, four in the front, two in the back. We think, let's put four in the back, two in the front. That will improve on, you know, what Tyrell, Elf Tyrell, I guess was the name of the team. It might be Tyrell. But that's what they went with, the four in the front. And that's just the way of things, isn't it? That's how innovation works, is you did one thing, we're going to improve on it. You did something that people thought was crazy, but we see the benefit, so we'll improve on it and try to kind of take your gains away from you. So the last thing I just wanted to say about the P34 that I thought was a pretty neat piece of engineering was that, you know, when you're driving a F1 car, not that I have or any of our listeners have, if you have and you're lucky enough to have been behind the wheel, shoot us an email at f1funcast@gmail.com. I'd love to talk to you about your experience. But I guess, you know, in today's modern Formula One, when you are driving, you can see your front wheels. You can see if you're locking up. You can see if you're sliding. You can see what's going on with your tires, if you have a puncture. Well, when they designed the P34, they realized, I can't see my tires. So they put portholes, almost like in a submarine, they put portholes in the front of the cockpit of the car. So now the drivers can see their wheels, those four little compacted wheels in front of them. They're like portholes in the front of the vehicle so that they could see what was going on with their tires, you know. And isn't that interesting that perhaps the team designed this six-wheeled car and then had to realize, you know, those unintended consequences of giving your drivers a blind drive on your front tires. I wonder now if they had to go back and redesign and put in those portholes. And then, so there you go. You've designed this car. It's performing well. You've got to put these portholes in. Are you going to have the same aero consistency? How's it going to affect your ride and your downforce? And there's just a lot that goes into it. So anytime you tweak one thing, you realize you have to tweak 2, 3, 4 more things. So, you know, I just wanted to, I saw the six-wheeled Formula One car out there. I saw pictures and I thought I'd share it with you all. I'm going to try to be doing a little bit more of these history of Formula One and these wacky things that have happened in the past. You know, Connor and I talked about 2005 Indianapolis Formula One and Indy, where they had to, I forget which tire manufacturer it was, but only one set of tires could really race on that track. So half the field had to withdraw after the formation lap. So I'd love to do that. If you have interesting or unusual things in Formula One that you'd like to talk about or to do some research on, send them along to f1funcast@gmail.com or check us out wherever. We just, you know, I love talking Formula One. I love looking up these things that I didn't know about and that maybe you had known about and maybe, you know, but if you hadn't, I'm glad to share with you. And if you did know about this and there's other things in the world of Formula One that you want to send along that maybe would be fun to dive into, please do. And I'm looking forward to talking to you all about how the season has progressed. We're having a great time here in 2024. This season is a lot of fun. We just had we just finished the Montreal Grand Prix last weekend, and Connor's going to be back. The crew chief is going to be back on the pod. We might be doing a little bit less race specific and more overall topics in the future. I appreciate everyone's patience as we've had to gather ourselves here at the F1 Funcast. The spring was not the kindest to your hosts, but we are resilient and we are tough, and we're going to stick around a lot longer than the P34 did here at the F1 Funcast. So looking forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening, and until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves and have a good one.